Let me share something with you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And remember, I am a Venezuelan Spanish-speaking preacher who came to Canada many years ago to learn your language. Bear with me, my pronunciation is not the best. Sometimes I forget the words. You know, my dictionary is a mixture of Spanish and English words. Sometimes my tongue sticks to my palate and doesn't want to come down. And you know, please bear with me, okay? And some of the words in the King James Bible are very foreign to me when pronouncing them. And you know what I mean. So let's read verse 27, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God can use anybody. He can use anybody. Sometimes, most believers, this is one thing I know for sure. If you know the Lord, in your heart, there is a longing, there is a wish that you could be more productive. In the heart of every believer, there is a desire to preach, to tell others about the Savior and see others come to know Christ. I believe that every believer has that desire in his heart. But that doesn't mean they go for it. Many people are just too afraid. They see themselves weak. They don't have the qualifications. They don't have the abilities to preach, to teach. Don't have the knowledge of the Bible. The men are not as handsome as your pastor, you know, and they don't have his very articulate form of speaking. If they were given the opportunity to speak in a meeting and share even his or her testimony, they would not be able to say much. And they will feel embarrassed to just open their mouth. So many people, feel they are nothing. I mean, who would listen to me? Who would care to listen to what I say? Pastor sometimes speaks, makes a calling for people to surrender their lives to serve the Lord, either full time or maybe just in church. I mean, if you are like churches in our country, you probably, it's good you have someone to listen to music, but maybe you need another Sunday school teacher. Maybe you want to have another Sunday school class, but you don't seem to see the resources, the human resources, the spiritual human resources to fulfill that need. And it isn't that people don't want to. I mean, they don't want to, but they want to. They don't want to because they feel they don't have what it takes to be a good teacher. But at the same time, they wish they could be more useful to the Lord. In the Bible, there is one man that fulfilled these requirements, Because if we are talking about requirements, we got to see what are God's requirements to serve Him, to be used by Him. And if you go to Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to show it to you in the few minutes we have left. In chapter 3 of Exodus, in verse 10, we see God talking to Moses and telling him, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee." But Moses had to come. I mean, God was calling him to be the instrument he could use to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses didn't believe he was a guy. He didn't believe he was a person he could use to do that. I mean, it was such a big job. It was, you know, it was the task of taking all those people out of Egypt who have been slaves for 400 years. How could he be the leader of our entire nation? He just didn't see himself there. So he began to give excuses to God, and I believe most people give excuses to God for not serving him as he wants them to serve. And in verse 11 it says, "And Moses said unto God," "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Who am I? Moses thought he was, you know, he was nothing. Who am I? You know, you look for somebody else, you know. You look for that guy there. Look for that girl there. Look for that woman there. They are better than myself. Who am I? Who in this place has not thought of himself in these terms? You know, who am I? Why is, you know, pastor talking to me and inviting me to get involved in this part of ministry? I just met the guy, so please nobody feel that he said something to me. I didn't know anybody before I came here. He didn't mention. We talked about all kinds of things. We're talking about chicken and about what was your plate? Salmon and potatoes. That's all we talked about. So here's pastor said, "Well, you know, why don't you, you know, I think you can take the job of teaching the kids, you know, or teaching the youth, or the teenagers, and a man always say, you know, pastor, well, you know, I don't think I should, or whatever, because you, as Moses, believe, you know, who am I? Who am I to do this?" Well, he kept giving excuses. God was just, you know, destroying his excuses. And in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee." See, in chapter 3, verse 11, Moses was the base, you know. He thought himself base. In chapter 4, verse 1, he thinks of himself as despised. You know, they will not believe me. They will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And I remember myself when I was just growing as a new believer, And the pastor inviting me to go out soul winning with them, just thinking exactly the same way. They will not believe me. Then I understood that if I believed, it was enough. If you don't believe, and they tell you they don't believe you, then you are going to feel bad. But if you believe that the Lord is going to do his job while you do yours, of just sharing the gospel. I mean, we go out for winning, and I tell people in our church when they are new believers, we are currently discipling 62 men and women in our church. And we split the discipleship program. It's a very long discipleship program. It takes 6 months. And I take the first module of 8 lessons. It gives me opportunity to get closer to them, the new believers. Just talk to them in a very informal setting and teach them the basics. So I tell them, well, you know, you have to start soul winning. I'm not gonna push you, but if you come, just come to see. You don't have to say anything. Just come and see. Because some of them say, you know, I'm afraid, I don't want to talk. No, don't worry. You don't have to talk. And some of them say, I don't want to ever going to talk. That's okay. Don't ever talk. But come and just stay beside me. And while I talk, you pray. You pray for me. If there is a misbehaved kid, you try to take care of the kid while I'm talking to his mom or dad. Just pray. And they keep coming, and they keep praying. Until one day, while I'm talking, they just say, Pastor, please, let me talk to the guy. You know, it always happens. They will not believe me. How many people feel don't serve the Lord because they feel despised, because they feel base? Then God continued talking to Moses, and in verse 10 of chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Who doesn't identify with Moses in this place? I mean, everybody. Listen, you know, look at me. You're struggling with your language here, you know. And definitely I don't feel any eloquent. And I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And that is probably one of the main excuses people give for not serving the Lord in their local church. They feel weak. Probably you feel weak too. Moses felt weak. And then at the end, in verse 13, reads like this, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And to me, definitely the foolish. So Moses was the base, the despised, the weak, and the foolish. And maybe you have gone through the same motions. You have gone through the motion of feeling despised, through the motion of feeling base, through the motion of feeling weak, and through the motion of being foolish. And God saw these problems in Moses' character, in his personality, and God didn't just say, you know, Moses, it's not going to work with you. He said, Moses, you're perfect. And it is the same with you. You are perfect. And you say, what kind of qualifications are these? These are not qualifications. The guy was disqualified. He was humanly disqualified. If he was to take a job as a news man on TV, I mean, they would have never taken him, right? But this is not to do the job of a news anchor man. This is the job of serving God. So, you know, the thing is that if you know the story, it was a Moses. It was God behind him all the time. And it is the same thing in Canada. It is the same thing anywhere you go. It is the same thing in Venezuela. When God called me to the ministry, to tell you the truth, I just felt like Moses. But I didn't want to do anything else but just serving Him with all my weaknesses. I didn't think I knew how to talk. I didn't think people will listen to me. I thought I was weak, but I was convinced of what God wanted from me. So I said, God, you know, I just, as Luke 14:33 says, I just forsake everything I have. I forsake my wife. I forsake my children. I forsake my profession, and I forsake my business. I forsake everything I have. I just want to serve you. Do something with me. Now, let me tell you, if you do the same thing, if you do that, if you just take Luke 14:33 and you really before the Lord forsake everything that you have, you are putting yourself in the place where God might not have any other option but to use you. And that's what I believe happened with this servant of yours. And God said, okay, have you forsaken everything? Yes, Lord. And he said, well, you can keep your wife. Or you can keep your children, your girls, your daughters. You can even keep your car. But your business is mine. Your profession is mine. And I said, God, that's fine with me. I just want to serve you. I don't care about anything else. The church couldn't provide for me just 30% of what we needed to survive as a family by the time. And God took care of miraculously, of that problem. I don't have the time to tell the whole testimony, but he just took care of everything. And the peace that came to my heart when I surrendered all to my Lord, just to do his will. Everything I wanted to be since I was 14 years old was an engineer. You know, I came to know the Lord. And I exercised my faith to be saved. But to tell you the truth, I had never exercised my faith since I got saved as I exercised my faith like when I just surrendered to the Lord everything I had. And I'm glad I did. Because, you know, the rest is history. God has been doing such wonderful things. You know, if you went to my place, to my home, you would see the same chairs, the same tables that we bought 30 years ago. There's nothing new. But that's fine. I have a home in heaven. And everything there will last for eternity. Everything at home is run down. That's okay. I don't have any problem with that. If you come to visit, now you know, things are old, things are outdated, things don't look very good. But one day we will all be sitting in heaven before the Lord, and everything will be eternal. Everything will be fine. So if you feel like Moses. I mean, everybody here is qualified. That's what I'm saying. You feel weak, you're qualified. You feel base, you're qualified. You feel weak, you know. Are you foolish? You're qualified. So this pastor should not have any problems from now on when he requests from people, you know, I want you to be a part of this ministry because everybody here is qualified. God bless you, Pastor.